All right, welcome to the deep dive.
Oh,
Today,
no.
we're gonna be like really diving deep, like into the heart of what it means to be an American. We're talking about citizenship. Like, can the government just, decide to take that away from you?
Without you having any say.
Exactly, without you having any say. And to understand all this, we're gonna be looking at a big one. Afri v. Rusk. It's a landmark Supreme Court case,
Sure.
really sets the stage for how we think about citizenship today.
Definitely a crucial case for anyone who wants to, really grasp those basic American rights. 'Cause Afrium v. Rusk is more than just a legal thing, right? Like, it tells us something really important about the relationship between a citizen and their country.
For sure, for sure. I mean, think about it, right? Your citizenship, it's your rights, your place in the world. Like, it's a big deal.
It is.
So what we want to do in this deep dive is really unpack the core constitutional principles that are at work in Afrium. See how it changed our understanding of American citizenship.
And to do that, we've got a whole bunch of stuff to work with here. We got excerpts from the actual case, summaries, legal analysis, the whole nine yards should give us a pretty solid picture of what went down.
Totally, totally. And as we go through all of this, you'll see how the Supreme Court, they had to grapple with all this historical stuff, like precedents, the actual words of the Constitution, all that to reach a decision.
Is it a bit of a puzzle?
Yeah, kinda.
Yeah.
So to get us started, let's talk about this guy, Bayes Afriam. He's at the center of all this legal drama, So he was a naturalized U.S. citizen, immigrated from Poland.
Became a citizen in 1926.
Okay.
Then in 1950, he moved to Israel.
Got it.
And get this, in 1951, he voted in an election for the Israeli legislature.
Interesting.
Fast forward to 1960, Afriam tries to renew his U.S. passport. And that's when things take a turn.
Uh-oh. What happened?
Well, the State Department, they flat out refused to renew his passport. They cited something called Section 401E of the Nationality Act of 1940. Basically, this law said that if an American citizen votes in a foreign election, boom, you lose your U.S. citizenship. Gone.
Wow. I mean, just like that.
Yeah, that's how it was back then.
So you're telling me, just exercising your right to vote in another country, and you could be stripped of your U.S. citizenship.
That was the argument.
Wild.
Now, here's the kicker. Initially, the lower courts sided with the government. They referenced a previous Supreme Court case, Perez v. Brownell.
Okay.
Perez, which was decided in 1958, had upheld a similar law, about losing citizenship for voting in foreign elections. So, legally speaking, it seemed like the government had a strong case.
Yeah, I mean, precedent is a big deal, right?
Huge, especially in the legal world. But Afriam, he kept fighting, and eventually his case, it lands in the Supreme Court. So now they're going to have to take another look at this whole issue, challenge that existing
So
understanding.
now it's like the big leagues.
Exactly.
So what was it like the core issue that the Supreme Court had to figure out?
At its heart, Afriam presented this fundamental conflict. Does Congress have the power under the Constitution to make a law that says, hey, if you vote in a foreign election, you're no longer a citizen?
Okay.
Or, on the other hand, does the 14th Amendment, that big amendment, does that guarantee citizenship as something that can't be taken away unless the person, they actually want to give it up?
It's like a tug of war almost.
Yeah, it is. You got the power of the legislative branch,
Yeah.
Congress making laws, and then you got the fundamental rights of individual citizens. Those are protected by the Constitution.
Right. So it's a classic showdown. So what happened? Like, how did the court rule?
Well, Justice Black, he was the one who wrote the majority opinion in Afriam, and he came down pretty firmly on the side of individual rights.
Okay, tell me about that opinion. Like, how did they use the 14th Amendment in their reasoning?
So Justice Black, he put a lot of emphasis on the citizenship clause of the 14th Amendment. It's pretty clear. It just says all persons born or naturalized in the United States are citizens.
Straightforward.
Right. And he argued that this, just this basic language, establishes a fundamental right to citizenship, not a privilege, a right.
Fundamental right. I mean, that's a big deal, legally speaking, right?
Huge. It basically means that the court, they concluded that Congress, they don't have the power to just take away someone's citizenship, like against their will.
Okay.
And Justice Black's reasoning was that once you become a citizen, you're protected by the 14th Amendment. Congress can't just unilaterally say, nope, you're not a citizen anymore because you did something like vote in a foreign election.
And this led to overturning Perez v. Brownell, right? I mean, that's a big shift.
Massive. Perez had been, the law of the land on this issue. And then Afriam comes along, just completely contradicts it.
Yeah.
The majority in Afrium, they basically said Perez, wrong decision. I said it didn't really recognize that constitutional guarantee of citizenship.
Yeah. So there's this pretty powerful quote from Justice Black in this opinion.
Yeah.
And I think it really gets to the heart of how they were thinking. He said, citizenship is not a license that expires upon misbehavior.
Yeah, it's a good one.
So can you break that down for us a little? What does he mean by that?
So that quote, it's really the essence of the Afrium decision. It's saying that citizenship, it's not some temporary thing the government gives you that they can just snatch back if you do something they don't like. It's saying that citizenship is this inherent right, you know, like something that belongs to you.
Okay.
He uses the word license, right? And a license, that's something temporary, something that can be revoked. But the court is saying that citizenship is way more permanent, way more fundamental. And voting in a foreign election, sure, maybe it shows you have some ties to another country, but it's not like misbehavior. You know, it shouldn't automatically mean you lose this fundamental right.
Okay, so if I'm getting this right, the majority in Afrium, they're saying that Afrium voting in an Israeli election or any U.S. citizen voting in a foreign election, it doesn't mean they've given up their American citizenship.
You got it. They made a really important distinction, you know, between actions that might suggest, hey, maybe this person's ties to the U.S. aren't so strong anymore, and then the actual act of giving up your citizenship, you know, like intentionally, voluntarily.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
And just voting, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're doing that.
Right. But, like we see in a lot of big Supreme Court cases, there was a dissenting opinion.
Big time disagreement.
So tell us about Justice Harlan's argument. What were his main concerns?
So Justice Harlan, he had Justices Clark, Stewart, and White on his side. And they really disagreed with the majority. They argued that when you look at the historical context, like when the 14th Amendment was being debated and ratified, it doesn't really look like the people who wrote it, they meant to take away Congress's power to make laws about, you know, losing citizenship, expatriation.
So they were looking back at like the laws and practices that were in place even before the 14th Amendment was a thing.
Exactly. Justice Harlan, he pointed out that, hey, Congress, they had already passed laws about expatriation before the 14th Amendment even existed. And he argued that if the 14th Amendment was supposed to completely change that, to take away that power from Congress, well, shouldn't it say that more clearly?
Right, like explicitly.
Right, like in the actual text of the amendment or in the discussions about it at the time, but it doesn't. So that was his argument.
So basically, they had a totally different interpretation of the citizenship clause of the 14th Amendment than the majority.
Totally different. They saw it more as defining how you become a citizen, you know, being born in the U.S. or going through the naturalization process. They didn't see it as setting limits on how that citizenship could be taken away.
Okay, so two different views.
And the dissenters, they also had a problem with what they saw as the Supreme Court, you know, overstepping its bounds a little bit.
Nico.
They thought the court was overreaching by overturning Perez, which wasn't that old of a precedent. It had only been decided 9 years before.
Right.
So they argued that the court should be a little more hesitant to just strike down acts of Congress, especially in areas that touch on foreign policy and, you know, national stuff.
Makes sense. Makes sense. So let's zoom out a bit and think about the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why is Afrium v. Rusk such a big deal? Why does it still matter so much today when we're talking about American citizenship?
Right.
Beyond just the legal stuff, mm-hmm. what does it really tell us about the relationship between a person and their country?
Well, Afrium, it's foundational because it established that citizenship, it's a right. It's not a privilege that the government can just grant or take away on a whim.
Right.
It says that once you're a citizen, you're protected by the Constitution. That's huge for individual liberty, right?
It is. It is.
It means that the government can't just arbitrarily decide to strip you of your citizenship. And it says something about how we think about national identity. Like once you acquire it, it's not something the government can just easily erase.
It's almost like saying that it's like part of who you are.
Exactly.
It's not just a, like a legal status. It's deeper than that. And Afrium, it also had a pretty big impact on dual citizenship, right?
Oh, yeah. Huge.
Like, by taking away that legal reason for taking someone's citizenship away just because they voted in another country, it made it a lot easier for people to have citizenship in more than one country.
Totally. And, you know, in today's world where everyone's so connected globally, where people might have family or business in other countries, that's really important.
For sure. For mm-hmm. sure. So if voting in another country's election doesn't put your U.S. citizenship at risk, then what can cause you to lose your U.S. citizenship?
The big thing now is intent. Like, did you actually want to give up your citizenship? You know, was it a voluntary act? The government has to prove that. So,
yeah.
And examples of that would be, like, if you go to a U.S. consulate and formally renounce your citizenship, or if you join the military of a country that's hostile to the U.S. and you take an oath of allegiance to them, meaning you're giving up your loyalty to the U.S., those are pretty clear examples.
Gotcha.
But, like, the point is, you have to show that the person actually meant to give up their citizenship. It can't just be assumed.
Right.
And because of AFRIIM, the government, they have to really prove it. They can't just say, well, it seems like they wanted to give it up based on some, you know, ambiguous actions.
So for someone listening who's, you know, interested in learning about their rights, AFRIIM shows them that their citizenship is a right, not a privilege.
Yeah.
It's not something the government can just take away easily.
Exactly. It provides a lot of protection against the government doing whatever they want.
Right, right. Let's dive into some of the nuances of this case. I know we've talked about constitutional versus statutory rights, but can you give another example to illustrate that difference?
Sure. So think about workplace safety. You know, Congress can pass laws that say, like, hey, workplaces have to be safe. You can't expose your workers to dangerous chemicals, all that. Those are statutory rights, meaning they're created by laws and they can be changed by Congress whenever they want.
Okay.
But then you have constitutional rights, things like freedom of speech or, as AFRIIM clarified, citizenship. Those are in the Constitution itself. They're way more fundamental.
Right.
And to change those, you need a constitutional amendment, which is a whole other ballgame. Much harder to do.
Way harder.
So AFRIIM took citizenship and said, this isn't just some right that can be changed easily. It's a fundamental right protected by the Constitution.
Okay, that makes sense. We mentioned how AFRIIM kind of opened the door for more acceptance of dual citizenship, which makes sense in today's globalized world. Why is that so important? Like, especially for someone who has, like, family ties in other countries or does business overseas.
Well, think about it. Nowadays, it's pretty common for people to have connections to multiple countries, right?
Right.
And AFRIIM, by basically saying it's okay to have dual citizenship, it lets those people keep those ties to other countries without worrying that they'll lose their U.S. citizenship.
Right, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They can participate in the civic life of those other countries, maybe vote in elections there, without being afraid of losing their status here.
Right.
And that's important because it reflects how the world is today, right? It's not like everyone just stays in one country their whole lives anymore.
Right, exactly. It's a much more fluid world.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, you know, this whole idea of voluntarily giving up your citizenship.
Yeah.
Can you give us some more, like, real world examples of how that plays out today?
Yeah.
Like, to contrast with AFRIIM's situation.
Sure. Imagine someone who decides to apply for citizenship in another country, right? And as part of that process, they have to formally renounce their U.S. citizenship.
Okay.
There's a ceremony, they sign documents, the whole thing. That's a clear-cut case of voluntarily giving it up.
Right. Very intentional.
Or let's say a U.S. citizen joins the military of a country that's considered an enemy of the U.S. and they swear an oath to that country, basically saying, I'm with them now. That could also be seen as voluntarily giving up their U.S. citizenship.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But those are very different from AFRIIM just voting in an election. Like, the court in AFRIIM, they said that voting doesn't mean you're automatically giving up your U.S. citizenship.
So why do you think the court felt so strongly about overturning Perez v. Brownell?
Mm.
Like, what was it about Perez that they felt needed to be corrected so quickly?
Well, the court's makeup had changed between Perez in 58 and AFRIIM in 67.
Mm.
The Warren Court, the one that decided AFRIIM, they were known for, like, expanding individual rights and civil liberties.
Okay, yeah.
Justice Black, who wrote the majority opinion, he was a really strong advocate for individual rights, you know, especially those in the Bill of Rights and the 14th Amendment.
Yeah.
So I think there was a feeling among the justices in the AFRIIM majority that Perez just didn't get it right. Like, it didn't recognize how important citizenship is in a democracy and how closely it's tied to who you are as a person.
So they saw it as part of a bigger trend, like a push to make sure individual rights were protected from the government.
Yeah, exactly. They saw citizenship as something really personal, something that the government shouldn't mess with unless the person themselves wants to give it up.
Okay. Makes sense. Now, Justice Harlan's dissent, it brings up a good point about national security.
Right.
Like, how does the AFRIIM ruling affect the government's ability to do something if they think a citizen is doing something that threatens the country?
That's a really important question, and it shows this kind of tension that you often see in constitutional law. you know, balancing individual rights with the government's need to keep everyone safe. So Afarim sets a really high bar for taking away someone's citizenship, even when it comes to national security. But it doesn't mean the government has no options.
Okay.
Like if someone lied to get their citizenship in the first place, you know, they committed fraud, the government can still try to take it away through something called denaturalization.
Okay.
And like we've been talking about, if citizen just straight up renounces their citizenship, even if it's because they're involved in something that threatens the country, Afarim probably wouldn't stop that.
Yeah, if that makes sense.
The key difference is that the person has to voluntarily choose to give it up, not just have it taken away because of what they're doing. Afarim makes sure that even when it comes to national security, that fundamental right to citizenship is protected unless the person decides they don't want it anymore.
Right. So, in a nutshell, what's the big takeaway from Afarim v. Rusk? What should people really remember about this case?
The main thing to remember is that U.S. citizenship, once you have it, whether you're born with it or you become naturalized, it's a basic constitutional right. The government can't just decide to take it away. You have to choose to give it up. That's a really important limit on the government's power, and it's a cornerstone of American freedom.
And for anyone who wants to understand their rights as an American citizen, you know, Afarim is a must read. It shows you that citizenship isn't just something the government can take or give whenever they want. It's a fundamental right protected by the Constitution.
For sure. It shows just how strong and secure that right to citizenship is in our system of government.
So here's something to think about as we wrap up. In a world where people are so interconnected, where it's common to have strong ties to more than one country, or even citizenship in multiple countries, what does Afarim mean for all that?
That's a good one.
Like, how do we balance this idea of voluntarily giving up your citizenship with the fact that people's identities can be pretty complex these days? What does it really mean to give up your citizenship in a world like ours?
Yeah, that's a really complex question. And it gets to how citizenship is changing in a globalized world. It's definitely something worth thinking about.
Absolutely. And for anyone who's interested in learning more, we encourage you to read the full Afarim v. Rusk decision and check out some of the legal analysis that's out there. It's a fascinating case that gets to the heart of what it means to be an American citizen.
For sure.
So thanks for joining us for this deep dive. It's been a good one.
Yeah, it has.